Today's episode is with Bridges Ablaze, a two-piece metal group out of Texas. Really cool guys. We talked about their upbringings, their formation, how they met in Guitar Center, just a chance meeting. It's always great how that goes. We talked about the process, writing, imposter syndrome, the deadly force that always has a way of sneaking into our lives, and the future, what they have in store, what they're working on, and hopefully some shows in the upcoming future. Their latest single, Heartbroken Angel, this acoustic bit, is out now, and I'm going to play a little bit of that before we play the podcast. And as usual, enjoy.
Disguise, your wings have been clipped, now you're falling. You can't find your way, no reason to stay. The ashes left scattered in pieces.
I'm so lost and out of touch. Could this be?
The robot voice. How do I sound? Do I sound okay? This mic is I don't know. I'm always skeptical. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for coming, guys. I've been listening and such good stuff. I was watching your videos and they're so nostalgic of like you guys are blending like early influences that I can see, but then you're doing like the text bubbles in a, you know, conversation between two people, and it reminds me of like back when it was like staticky phone calls between people during a bridge or something.
Oh yeah.
Like nice and updated, and I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. You guys met at Guitar Center, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like a chance meeting. Those are the best, because like the odds of just two like-minded people meeting and doing great things is, it's got to be rare. And then if you find a label that gets it, you guys can do such great things, and you're doing great things. It sounds so good. It's so clean and focused and just good.
Man, thank you.
So how do you guys approach scripting your videos?
Well, recently it's been we send the songs over to our director, Mr. Wade, amazing guy, and then he kind of has this vision, but we also kind of let him know, like, hey, we're thinking of this. So it's kind of like a fusion of different recipes. And then he sends us like a big paragraph, kind of like, hey, this is what I have in mind. For because he did Numb in our recent one, Apocalypse, which is fantastic. And I just remember the process, he was just kind of envisioning and we just ran with it. We're like, good, dude, we trust you. Like, let's go for it.
That's awesome.
I'd say sometimes we'll approach with a core idea and the producer or director will pretty much do what they can to make that a reality. And then sometimes, it'll be like a 50-50 thing. Sometimes it'll be, hey, good, like what Ruben was saying, going to the director and being like, hey, what do you think? And then we'll, execute the idea from there.
That's cool. That's cool. It's good to be on the same page. You guys do that similarly with recording, or is this all you?
Oh, it's the same with recording. Robbie is our guy, and we've been working with him, and yeah, pretty much the same way. Like sometimes, Ruben, you've brought like full songs, and Robbie will develop it. Yeah.
It ranges, or there's one of them, was called Into the Abyss. It actually turned out to be Never Too Late. Just remember, we were riffing, and then turns around, this is the wrong key. Whoops. But it was a good accidental whoopsie, because it brought out Never Too Late. The intro riff, how it just goes right in. It's magical, man.
I love I hear some like Mars Volta influence in there, and I really love how you're blending different styles and you don't go just straight for like a cut and paste metal. You're doing your own thing, and it's really cool that you're blending very, I want to say, carefully. You're not stepping on any toes, you're not ripping anything off, you're doing your own thing. But then I hear Mars Volta vocals a little bit. I hear dude coming through, and I'm like, it's the music doesn't match, and it's so refreshing,
Nice. That's interesting. So you what's his name? Cedric, right?
Cedric,
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I love the Mars Volta. Ruben, do you like them?
It's been a minute, but I mess with them here and there. I don't really know too many at the top of my head.
I couldn't name two songs, but I know them if I heard them. I've seen them twice, and I still couldn't name two songs if I heard them. But like whenever they're on, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, they're nasty, man. They put on crazy shows.
Oh yeah, they're so fun, and their fans are diehards. I felt so out of place. Like, man, I don't know the lyrics. Like everybody's singing along. So I'm surrounded by everyone who knows every word, and like this is just a fun experience. I'm way too stoned for this though.
It.
I had to take a break the last time because I don't know, I hit the pen just right and I was like, I'm getting dizzy and this music is freaking
Hey,
me
so
out.
fun fact with consuming that, it's Forever Fallen. What was it, Apollo 13?
It was Apollo 13. And we all know what happened to Apollo 13.
That's kind of what happened to me.
He got Apollo 13.
I was out. They started the
Oh
beginning of it.
no.
I woke up and I'm just like, what's going on? Brian's already doing vocals. I'm like, what did I miss? Like, hey, dude, welcome back.
It's like, hey, man, the song's done. You slept for 4 days.
Oh my God. Imagine you just like limping home from the studio, just trying to figure out where you are.
Like learning how to read again.
It was a good experience.
That is fun. Those guys are from Texas too, right? I think both of them are, or one of them at least. I think they're from El Paso too. Yeah. How's the scene out there? Metal seems to be like still in a very exclusive kind of style,
The El
and you don't find
Paso,
it everywhere.
no, the El Paso scene, I'd say, is more of like garage band, deathcore, like a lot more. I mean, of course, there's amazing bands out there, but from where when I was out there trying to do the music scene, that's what I got mixed in with. You know, whenever shows at an old venue called the Percolator downtown, there was a lot of heavier bands, and to me, it just all sounded the same. I never got sucked in, so you know, I kind of started doing my own thing, which is why I also decided to pack up and leave in 20. I'm gonna go pursue something out in Austin. Don't know what it is, but I'm gonna go over there. Sure enough, ran into this legend right here.
Nice.
Bro, like when I heard you, I was like, man, I quit. He's so good. But
Who's
instead,
that?
I just guitar battled you.
And that's how you settle things. That's good. Don't let the
Yes.
imposter syndrome take over. You
Oh,
know,
I don't
because
know. God.
imposter syndrome, it's like it loves art, which is really frustrating because it chips away. It has a way of chipping away. And tell me if you guys have experience with that as musicians. It's got to be frustrating to run into these mental roadblocks.
I feel like for both of us, it's been so bad. It's like so much imposter syndrome that it defined our realities like fog. Like you know what I mean? Or it's like only knowing one thing, like growing up in a dysfunctional family, only to learn in your adult life just how dysfunctional it was, but it's reality shattering, right? It's kind of the same thing. Like, 'cause you know, The Kill was just a proof of concept, you know, 'cause we'd only really been backing vocalists and lead guitarists in a band. We had never organized and done a project ourselves like this. And so the whole thing, as we built out the album, was the gradual growing of like overcoming the imposter syndrome and gaining that confidence that no, this is actually who we are. We're not like, who says we have to fit in these molds that other people put us in? We can make our own stuff. And just because other people in our past bands didn't want us to sing, that wasn't going to stop us. You
Well,
know,
yeah.
but it was really hard, you know, because when we first got the kill back, it was like, what the hell? This is us?
I remember finishing up the demo, Brian, and we drove from San Antonio back to Austin just to jam out. Stopped at a Circle K off of 35 and Slaughter. We pulled up and we were just blasting the demo. We're both looking around like, these guys have no idea who we are. This is legendary. Like, we're just blasting and just singing, and we're like, dude, this is us. This is us. Celebrating. We bought like a cheap bottle of wine back when I used to drink, and celebrated. Had a good time. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
White
You
claws.
gotta hear it again. White claws.
Yeah.
It's nice to it must have been nice really to hear it for the first time as a polished version. 'Cause you guys the vocals are solid. Like I it's funny hearing people with imposter syndrome, like we all have it, right? But to have that refreshing perspective when you get the end result back and you don't just step on it and be like, nah, that's not me. That's no, that, you know, I could do better or something like that. You don't let that get to you because you realize, oh no, this is good. I did this and I'm gonna do another one and another one until the wheels fell off, I guess.
Even if the wheels fall off, man, we're gonna keep going.
Just keep
Yeah.
going.
Even if we can't rock, we will roll, man.
So Austin is like, I've heard it described, and I still haven't been there, but I've heard it described as a tiny bubble of sanity. And I don't know how true that is, because the music scene is pretty diverse, right? You've got so many options there a billion venues and all the festivals and every kind of Californian moving over there. I'm losing neighbors, barely losing neighbors to the exodus to Texas and Nashville. It seems Austin and Nashville are the places to be. Would you say that Austin is still growing, still has more to offer, more to grow?
Oh yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's grown pretty bad. I it got to the point where I was like, yeah, I'm moving out. So I moved out south, bought a house with my lovely fiance, which is great, you know, because we were operating out of Brian's house and then out of my tiny apartment. Dude, there's more to this. So now I have a little studio room dedicated just to music. You know, when Brian comes over, we jam in here. Blast it up. We really get in the moment, and it's fun. It's fun. But going back to what you said earlier, yeah, dude, like Austin provides so much. There's moments where I do miss living up there. You know, I miss going down to Come and Take It Live downtown 6th Street, just hearing all these amazing live bands. Like one second you're hearing country, next thing you're hearing jazz, next second you're hearing rock. You're like, dude, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, pretty diverse. Where are you at now?
Small town called Seguin.
Seguin.
Yes, sir. It's northeast of San Antonio. So we're about 45 to 50 minutes from Brian's.
Oh, okay, cool. And Brian, you're that's not Austin then, right? Where are you at now?
I live like right at the edge of the outskirt, like technically outside of the city limits, but I'm still in Travis County right by the airport.
Oh, okay.
It's a really nice spot because I'm like 15 minutes away from downtown, but it's like, I mean, it's been blowing up out here, but it's still pretty much like in the sticks.
Yeah.
So I get kind of the best of both worlds of like a lot of woods and back
Yeah.
roads, and then 15 minutes, you got East Cesar Chavez, you got 6th Street, you got like really cool downtown areas.
That's cool. I went to San Antonio. My dad visited. My dad lived there for a few years, so I went to visit him, and it is enormous. I didn't realize like those city limits are so wide, and there's like no two places are the same, right? Like downtown is downtown, and then 15 minutes out, it seems like you're in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't take long, and I always forget how big Texas actually is. I'm in Southern California. Every patch of land available is covered in something, you know? So it's nice. It was nice to see that. And it's cool that people can still come together despite that.
For sure.
Yeah. And you guys had a background. I thought it was funny. You guys had a background in oil and the military. And I'm so glad that you became musicians instead of like villains in the
Literally, like both sides of the villain thing. Like
desert or something.
it felt, huh?
I never saw it like that. Sorry, Brian.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, I never really saw it like that. Like, dude, military and then your engineering degree with petroleum engineer.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm like, you guys are ripe for conquest. It's pretty cool. Either way, apply that energy to music, and either way, you'll just take over the planet. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to have those mindsets.
Yeah, I guess that's true in a sense. Like I always felt like the black sheep in oil and gas. You know, it never quite fit. But I that said, I've come to find so many of the skills, you know, like ways of thinking, just v invaluable to music.
That's good discipline and organization and whatnot, I imagine.
Specifically those things like order. I've realized having like a high level of organization in this is just it's done so much for us. Like, and it's down to the point where every expenditure is updated, and I keep backlogs of every previous iteration based on like every time I decide to even update our Excel sheet with expenditures. And turns out, as an LLC, you got to do taxes. And turns out you gotta like keep track of pretty much everything to do that right. And whenever, you know, we're dealing with a CPA, because of that organization, it was just a matter of like, oh, add up these cells, add up these cells. add up these cells. And you know, you have to go through and think, but beyond that, it was like, thank God we're this organized, because in so many other groups, it's, I mean, good luck.
Yeah, that's a big thing of like budgeting. I know for sure, especially local bands, you know, when you don't have much money to start with, you end up spending it. You still end up spending it on dumb shit. You know, you have to like figure out how to get organized and get disciplined. And that itself is such a leap that if you're starting out that way, that's incredible. So it seems like a great head start. And it's interesting that you guys both chose music from these two worlds that how easy would it have been to just stay on those paths?
That would have been a path of least resistance.
Yeah.
It's what
Yeah.
most things in nature do, right? Stay that
Yeah.
path. It's like we're just gonna go up this vertical cliff just 'cause. But
It was our calling, to be
Yeah.
honest. Like nothing else really interested me. Saying, hey, it's either A or B. I'm like, I'm gonna choose right in between, A sharp.
Yeah, because for you as the military, right? You were,
Yes, sir.
yeah.
Did it throughout high school. It's a Naval Junior Reserves Officer Training Corps, NJROTC. Finished off as one of the officers, you know, and I would have gone into like an E2, possibly E3, depending on my score. And I just kept bombing the ASVAB. I mean, I ace with flying colors on the practice, which is initially supposed to be a little harder. And when you do the real one, you have so many tries. So you fail the first time, cool, you could take it X amount of days. You fail the second time, X amount of weeks. Third time, you have to wait up once. I remember I failed the third time and I was like, you know what? Yeah, this ain't my thing. Just remember, just hey, if I fail this, I promise I'm gonna give my all on the next thing. And that was my way to just keep moving.
And that was music.
No, 100%.
That's awesome. Do those backgrounds influence your style at all beyond the discipline and organization? Do you play thinking of those things?
Like the military stuff, not too much. But when it comes to other, like, I guess feelings, you know, probably have to relate it to that. You know, how was I feeling at that moment? Well, I was feeling fired up, or I was feeling pissed, sad. I guess we use that, or I use that as like a good way to kind of foundation of what the song's going to be about.
And writing, it's all deep. It's introspective things. You guys are writing from the heart, and it's always refreshing. You guys don't seem to be cutting any corners, which is really nice. You're not, and you don't seem to be bullshitting either. Like, you're not just writing just to write, just because, like, this is A plus B equals C. You're creating. And what would you have to say on that note to those people coming up who maybe are struggling to write, can't figure out their voice? Maybe they have music down, but they can't get their thoughts on paper.
Oh God, I literally remember that, and leaping over that divide is brutal. You know, there's so much imposter syndrome, and like, honestly, I'd say therapy, you know, like to be honest, like therapy, journaling, things like that, understanding your life better, that always will really help the artistic process, I think, but also just viewing it like a long-term skill. That you're just like it's like a gym body, right? It takes like 2 to 4 years, right? Or just a certain process. Same thing goes like with that. You know, it takes a while and you just gotta kind of not, don't, you're gonna encounter a lot of roadblocks. And I found that like just getting discouraged over one and then quitting is like not how the process works. So just finding the wherewithal to persevere, to resist discouragement, just to stay in it, even if you're like, I hate this, I'm never gonna make something I like, I want to rip all my hair out, I'm so discouraged. I've been there like at least a dozen times. And just hanging in there, you know,
Just a
just
matter of
never giving
perseverance.
up. Yeah, just hang in there and trust the process that you can learn, and then you will get there if you
Yeah.
just stay true.
Well said. So what was something that in your journey here, something that was you thought was going to be easy ended up being very difficult? Because we went through Excel sheets, seemed I wonder if that seemed difficult and ended up being very easy, and you might make a CPA very happy to not have to go through all your stuff. But yeah, what seemed easy that hit hard?
Man.
Oh man. Anything we had ignorance about, really.
Yeah. Honestly, that's a good one. Right now, what's kind of difficult for me right now is playing and singing at the same time. There's some section, some of our songs that I'm kind of thinking, do I need to play this part or should I back up and let the backing tracks or Brian do it? You know, it's just trying to figure out a good formula for that. There's certain keywords. Like, okay, I'm singing this word. Am I strumming down? You know, am I strumming up? What makes it easier? That's one of the things I'm currently going through, and I'm sure Brian is as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's probably the hardest thing right now. Thankfully, we have each other, which is one of the reasons we did it this way, is because we can literally lean on each other in a variety of ways, including musically. You know, with live performance. You know, and worst case, we can, have like our third guitar player or, each other play it. So there's a million ways to do this. It's actually been like a lot of fun, kind of like almost engineering a process, like designing a set. How are we going to play all these parts? And sometimes we'll think of more than one way, and it's been really fun just thinking about those possibilities. But yeah, I mean, singing and playing has been a bitch.
100%.
How anybody does it. It's that itself is magic to me. The fact that you can have two different things going on like that. That's so coordinated. A buddy of mine drums and leads a band called Memory Milk out here. And he drums and sings, and I don't understand how that is possible.
Blows my mind.
It's such a pleasure to watch, especially people shredding and singing like you guys. That's a whole other skill that I just don't understand. I simply enjoy it, and I just sit back and enjoy it because I leave it up to magic. You guys are magicians.
The body can be trained to do wild things.
I think I need a manual for a lot of things. So where do you guys play typically? Do you play many shows?
Well, at this point, we haven't even played a show, but we're very, very, very close at this point. And we got a good lineup of some solid dudes. We've had a lot of talks with a lot of guys. And so, definitely this year. And,
Nice.
tours as soon as we can.
Nice. Where's the venue you want to play first? Have you guys been to the, do you guys have, share any favorite venues? Doesn't have to be in your hometown or where you live now.
That's a good question. Honestly, I haven't really thought too much about like the outside of Texas. Mainly, the one that really does come to mind a lot is Come and Take It Live over in Austin, Texas. I mean, because a lot of people like to go there, and it's known for a lot of the local bands, local acts. You know, and the sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely a more locally oriented venue for sure. And you'll have some enormous acts go through it too. But typically at a certain point, they'll end up going to Emo's or, Formula One Racetrack or Frank Erwin Center, like really big venues or something else. So Come and Take It might be like one of the places we'd want to hit first, for sure.
I would love to play over at Coda, the 360 Amphitheater.
Oh yeah, that'd be for a big show.
That would be fun.
That'd be awesome. How's Paper Tiger? I wanted to go in San Antonio, but I never got a chance. I don't know how they approach metal. I saw a lot of like post-punk and like rock bands.
Paper Tiger. Brian, was that the one you saw, Era?
I think so. I also saw Upon a Burning Body there. I like it.
It's cool. Just if people are gonna stage dive, just please notify the crowd first before jumping on and just, gosh, dude,
Is there a
that's one of our pet peeves. Just people just jumping non like without even notifying the crowd. You
Yeah.
do somebody.
I've never seen that go wrong. Well, I've never seen it go wrong live. I've seen videos of that going very terribly wrong. But have you seen that happen?
Happen.
Oh yeah, it's happened to me a couple times.
Oh no. You got
Yeah.
hit?
Yeah, and I'm just it's like infuriating and honestly sometimes scary.
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause large people like to stage dive, and that's scary. And it's like, have fun, but like you said, warn the crowd. Let me know,
Yep.
'cause I'm not always looking at the stage.
Yeah, I remember I jumped up there and it was Jesse Cash. He just kind of gave me like a pat, like, are you good to go? Around, made sure everybody was looking, like, hey, you guys good? They gave me the good sign, turned around, across, trust fall. It was
Nice.
beautiful. That's
Yeah, the Northlane singer called us out and was like, I like that. Yeah.
That is a very nice, like, polite, appropriate approach, I guess, to that. Make sure you don't kill anybody.
Oh yeah, because this like really bulky, like 6 foot whatever, like 200 pound plus guy just like felt like it compressed my spine. Like he hit my head and I just like saw like it was like a TV static for a minute and I was just like, oh God.
Yeah.
And yeah, after that I was like, to hell with this. Like I'm not gonna jump into the crowd like that. I'm gonna approach it differently.
Dang. Are you guys big on moshing when you go out?
Up until my later 20s.
When it really started to hurt.
Like the day after, I'm like, dude, my neck hurts. I don't know, you're sore, but if to those that love to mosh, I support it.
Oh,
Please,
yeah.
it allows you to.
Yeah. It's fun, but not always, depending on where you are in the crowd. I got ragdolled at some show. I was holding my camera up. I'm trying to take pictures of this band, and some 20-year-old something behind me just grabs my shoulders and yanks as hard as he can. And I
No.
just went whoop. I was not ready for it. And I just fell. I just totally ate shit. And like five people come up and pick me up, and super polite, right? Besides that one motion. And I love it. It's so much fun. But like, give me a heads up.
Yeah.
I would have done that. I would have gone with you. Just let me know before my camera falls.
Literally, yeah, it's one of those things that I definitely at our shows I would want people to have, the utmost experience. So we'll definitely encourage moshing unless, somebody gets hurt, then we'll obviously be the band to be like, hey, show stops, because we would
Show the
never
fuck
want,
out.
yeah,
Yeah.
literally, we would stop a show to help somebody for sure. But other than that, yeah, I mean, even though I'm at a point where moshing hurts me, I'd still let people do it.
Nice. So you're almost ready to play a show. Nice, nice. How soon do you think you want to hit the road, come out to California?
That just depends, I guess.
When are you shooting for the local shows? I may be in your neighborhood sometime this year, so if you play, I gotta hear you. I gotta see you live.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. I'd say within it kind of depends because we're having like a whole like file built, like backtracks and stuff, because there's just so many layers. So once that's done, we'll start our practices. But there's a lot of gear, a lot. So we gotta, kind of have a sound guy, make sure things go well.
Some
So
logistics to figure out. Yeah.
But once that's hammered out, I mean, the guys, they kind of know the songs. Me and Ruben, we've been playing them for like a year or two already, so.
Nice, nice.
I'm gonna
What
have to
are you
work.
guys releasing anything soon?
Yes.
Oh yeah, three songs. What were you saying, Ruben?
Gonna say, I already lost my train of thought. It was
Oh,
just
my bad.
the shows. No, you're good. You're good. But yes, as Brian said, we have three coming out.
Nice, nice. Very soon.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, like one each month, basically.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So, in the next few months, that'll be awesome. Do you guys have videos planned for those too?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All done,
Cool.
ready to go, especially the zombies one. That's that one was a lot of fun.
Oh, they're done.
Yeah,
Oh,
they're done.
nice. Oh, awesome. Cool. Looking forward to these then. I was anyway, but extra looking forward knowing that they're done. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Well, you guys want to plug anything besides the songs that are just coming out?
Plug anything, like play a song or
Oh no, like plug any further information about you guys.
ooh.
What do you want the listeners to know?
Stay on your toes because we got a lot coming. Like a lot.
Nice.
And we're gonna be unleashing the beast, and once we're ready to play live, we'll definitely let y'all know. We'll make a big old announcement.
Awesome. Awesome.
Feels like most of our best songs haven't even been released yet. So
That's a good spirit to have because you're off to a great start. So
thank you.
I'm looking forward to what you consider better.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, guys. I messed up and downsized my Zoom subscription. So we got like 3 minutes before this thing kicks us off.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah, my bad. I
It
didn't think that was,
happens.
I thought I had a month left. And I got the notification. So yeah. Thanks for joining me, guys. This is a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the new tracks, the new videos, and come out to California ASAP
Yes,
because
sir.
we got some venues out here who would love to have you.
We love California. Love to visit, would love to play, and man, thank you for having us. It's been a blast.
Anytime. Anytime. When the videos come out, we'll do a follow-up if you guys like.
Yes.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah,
Well,
we'd love
thanks so much.
that.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, guys. Have a good one.
You
Take
too.
care.
Thanks. Thank you.
Anytime.